You've heard of Goldman Sachs, right? How about Lehman Brothers? Well, before these were household names as financial firms, they were the names of German Jewish immigrant families who, along with their peers, played an outsized role in the development of modern finance. Their story is told in the new book, The Money Kings, the epic story of the Jewish immigrants who transformed Wall Street and shaped modern America, by Daniel Shulman. Daniel is a New York Times bestselling author and journalist. He's the deputy Washington bureau chief of Mother Jones Magazine, and he joins us now to share five key insights from the book.
Hi, this is Dan Shulman. I'm an author and journalist, and my new book is called The Money Kings. It's the Gilded Age saga of a remarkable group of Jewish immigrants who established some of the nation's top investment banks, including Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, Kuhn Loeb, and J&W Seligman & Company. These tycoons shaped the rise of Wall Street, but their profound financial legacies were just one part of their seismic impact on the 20th century and the modern world. Here are five insights from the book. Insight number one, immigrant peddlers built some of the nation's mightiest financial firms. You're probably familiar with the Horatio Alger up-from-nothing archetype. Well, it's helpful to know that in the late 1800s, Alger lived with Joseph Seligman and his family and tutored the banker's sons. Alger spent many evenings talking with Seligman about his life and soaking up his incredible, and yes, Alger-esque story. As a teenager, Joseph immigrated from Bavaria. Throughout Germany at that time, Jews were treated as an underclass. They were barred from holding anything but the lowliest jobs, prohibited in many cases from owning property, and often restricted in where they could live. It was these oppressive conditions that propelled Joseph and many German Jews to the United States during the 19th century. Joseph quickly fell into what was then the most popular startup profession for Jewish immigrants in the mid-1800s, peddling. The great-grandson of one of the founders of Lehman Brothers called peddling the Harvard Business School for Jewish boys. And there was an element of truth to this. It offered a crash course in business, in the English language, and in American customs. To be successful, you had to quickly build rapport with customers. You had to be resourceful, adventurous. Peddling was also how Henry Lehman, the first of the Lehman brothers to immigrate, got his start. Same for Marcus Goldman of Goldman Sachs and Abraham Kuhn of Kuhn Loeb. Their firms would go on to become some of the biggest names on Wall Street. But these banking empires were born out of 100-pound rucksacks and overloaded horse-drawn carts. The partners of these firms would eventually form very close professional and personal ties. And their businesses evolved in similar ways. Once their founders had built up enough capital through peddling, they opened dry goods and clothing firms. Then came the Civil War. It required large-scale bond-selling operations on both sides, and it hastened the financialization of American life. In the war's aftermath, these entrepreneurs quickly realized the opportunities in finance, and they were well-positioned to make the leap into banking. Collectively, they would help to capitalize some of America's most iconic companies. They would finance the railroad system, and they would organize some of the nation's first commodities exchanges. Insight number two. The most influential financier of the Gilded Age is probably not who you think it is. J.P. Morgan is widely considered the greatest banker of that era, perhaps the most pivotal financial figure in American history. But his contemporary and competitor, Jacob Schiff, could easily assert a claim to that title. Born in Frankfurt, Schiff did not fit the mold of the earlier wave of Jewish immigrants. He hailed from a prosperous and well-regarded family within Frankfurt's Jewish community. He arrived in the U.S. shortly after the Civil War. Before he was 20, he had co-founded a brokerage. He would soon marry into the Kuhn Loeb banking dynasty and very quickly become its most important partner. For nearly 50 years, Schiff headed Kuhn Loeb, which would eventually merge with Lehman Brothers. Neither he nor Kuhn Loeb are well remembered today, but they once operated at the very highest strata of American finance, alongside Morgan and his firm. Schiff helped to channel millions, perhaps billions, in European investment capital into American industry, especially the railroads. One of his signature feats was the turnaround and restoration of the bankrupt Union Pacific, but he was also a banker to corporations such as Westinghouse and Western Union. He played a vital role in transforming the United States from an emerging market into an economic superpower. Schiff's lifetime was sometimes known as the Schiff era, and in many ways we are living in the world he helped to build. But his legacy went far beyond finance. That brings me to insight number three. Jacob Schiff and his allies are the reason why a thriving Jewish community exists in America today. Schiff's philanthropic legacy transcended even his financial impact. Between 1890 and 1920, the decade Schiff was most active, the Jewish population of the United States swelled from 400,000 to 3.4 million. This flood came from Eastern Europe and the Russian Empire. These immigrants were fleeing oppressive living conditions and mob violence targeting Jewish communities. For years, Schiff and his fellow philanthropic stewards, including members of the Goldman Sachs, Lehman, Seligman, and Warburg families, beat back nativist efforts to block Jewish immigration. To ensure these new arrivals would not become public charges, Schiff and his allies shouldered a weighty obligation to take care of their own. They poured millions into efforts to help Jews in the U.S. and abroad, job training programs, schools, hospitals, English lessons. Schiff helped to found and fund organizations that provided these services and much more. Not only did he and fellow Jewish philanthropists anticipate the immediate needs of the new arrivals, they paved the way for their rapid Americanization. Many of the organizations that Schiff nurtured are still in existence. On a basic level, if you come from a Jewish family with Russian or Eastern European roots, like I do, there is a good possibility your American story would not have been possible without Schiff. Insight number four. German Jews played a profound role in building the modern financial and economic system in the United States. The progressive income tax, the Federal Reserve, the modern IPO. Members of German Jewish financial dynasties played a part in all of these formative developments. Edwin Seligman was a Columbia economist and son of banker Joseph Seligman. He was integral to the effort to ratify the 16th Amendment authorizing an income tax. And he was one of the intellectual forefathers of progressive taxation, on which our tax system is based. When Paul Warburg of Kuhn Loeb came to the U.S. in the early 1900s, we still had no central bank. Our currency was inelastic. It did not contract or expand based on demand, and this led to frequent financial shocks and bank runs. Warburg led the push for a central bank. He was one of the architects of the Federal Reserve System and served on the first Fed board. Henry Goldman and Philip Lehman were childhood friends. Together, they formed an alliance between their family firms to underwrite businesses ignored by the top investment banks. This included retailers such as Sears and Woolworths. J.P. Morgan and Company and other major firms concentrated on railroads and industrial concerns, whose share value was pegged to their physical assets. But Goldman and Lehman believed intangibles, such as future earning capacity and goodwill, could and should be factored into share pricing. They wound up helping to pioneer the modern IPO. Sears and Woolworths were just a sampling of the many household name businesses that grew and thrived as a result of their financial innovation. Insight number five. The anti-Semitic myths about Jewish bankers seeking world domination? You can blame Henry Ford for those. When a New York Times reporter visited Adolf Hitler in 1922, he noticed a large portrait of Henry Ford on the wall of the Nazi leader's office. German translations of a book with Ford's byline littered a table in the anteroom. It was titled, The International Jew, The World's Foremost Problem. The book anthologized articles from Ford's Dearborn Independent newspaper. With Ford's blessing, the paper had launched an anti-Semitic crusade that spanned 7 years and 92 issues. The paper's frequent targets were German Jewish financiers, who Ford baselessly blamed for fomenting World War I. Week after week, the paper amplified the message and themes of the touchstone of modern anti-Semitism, the fraudulent tract known as the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Hitler and other Nazi leaders counted Ford an inspiration, and the automaker played a central role in amplifying many of the tropes, stereotypes, and conspiracy theories that continue to plague the Jewish people today. Ford's anti-Semitism is often portrayed as a footnote to his career. It wasn't. It was the defining feature of his legacy. According to a Ford executive, Ford did reckon with the lethal hatred he helped to stir up. During a screening of a U.S. government film depicting the liberation of a concentration camp, Ford suffered a major stroke and died a few months later. The virus had come full circle, the Ford executive said of the Industrialist. There are many more historical insights to be found in the Money Kings. These tycoons really did pave the way for the modern world in fascinating ways. And once you start looking, you can see their imprint all around us. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the Money Kinks.
Thank you, Daniel. That was Daniel Shulman with five big ideas from The Money Kinks, the epic story of the Jewish immigrants who transformed Wall Street and shaped modern America. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.